We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. So go ahead and find your way to 1 John chapter 2. That's where we're going to be tonight. It's kind of weird to be in this service when I know Vacation Bible School is going on because I'm a youth pastor. So anything that has to do with kids, I'm supposed to be there. So I feel like I'm forgetting something right now, you know. But I am so honored to be with all of you right now. As we begin this message tonight, I want you to consider this question. How well do you know your friends? Now, I know you know your friends. Obviously, if you didn't know them, they wouldn't be your friends. But I want you to consider how well do you really know them? You know their name, you know where they live, you know what they like and what they don't like, you know their good qualities and bad qualities. But do you really know them? I mean, really, really know them. I just mentioned that this last week I was on a bus and church van with over 50 young people and adults going to camp. And we were there for 4 days all together. And during that time, as well as we thought we knew each other at the beginning of that week, by Thursday night, we knew each other so much better than we really ever wanted to. You know how that is, okay? I mean, before I got married to my wife Heather, we knew each other pretty well. But now that we're married, we really know each other. You married folks understand that. You understand that. I always, it cracks me up because, like I said, I'm a youth pastor. And of course, there's always these teenagers who are in love and they know it's true love and they really know each other. And you know, it's like, oh, I know them. I know them better than anybody else. You really know them. Really. Try getting married to them and spending every single day with them and then waking up to their face in the morning. You know them then. So that's what I'm talking about. How well do you really know your friends? I think you kind of understand what I'm saying. And as we consider that, how well do you know your friends? Let's take it a little bit further. And let's talk about our dearest friend, our Heavenly Father. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We started broad there thinking about how well do we know our friends, but let's narrow it down. How well do we specifically know our Heavenly Father? And the title of my message tonight is, Do You Know Me or Do You Know Me? All right, and hopefully this will make a little bit more sense as we get into our text. So here we are in 1 John chapter 2. And John begins this book in this chapter by explaining that no one is perfect. He explains everybody's sinful. Everybody does wrong. Everybody is corrupt. Even after salvation, we're still going to fail. And I hope everyone understands that. You know, I work with young people, so I get to see their growth and their maturity. And I see all these young people, they get saved as children or as teenagers, and they come back and like, man, I've sinned, I've messed up. And I get to explain to them, now listen, we're all going to mess up. You're not perfect. Life is a process. And Pastor Monty talked about that this morning. Life is a process. We're never going to just arrive one day. I knew some people when I was in high school, and they believed, they were not Baptists, but they believed that you could actually attain sinless perfection. Wouldn't that be nice? They believed that you could eventually arrive at some point in this life on earth where you no longer sinned. You couldn't sin. You were just perfect. I mean, that would be very nice. But sadly, that's not true. Nobody reaches sinless perfection. That's what John was explaining in this passage. He says, listen, no one's ever just going to arrive at that place. You're going to fail. You're going to sin. And he explains at the end of 1 John chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, when you do sin, you need to confess that sin. You need to repent of your sin and restore your relationship with Christ. And that's how John is opening this book. And he wasn't just randomly saying that. He was building to something. And so here we come to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. All right. And if you're able, would you mind standing with me for the reading of God's word? We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We're just going to read a few verses. So here we are in verse number 3 of chapter 2. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Let's go ahead and pray, and then you can all be seated. Dear Father, I pray that you just meet with us right now, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless this time that we have together as we open your word and we study it together. I pray that you just help me, Lord, as you've definitely spoken to me through this passage. I pray that you would just use me, Lord, as your vessel today, as your messenger to these good people of Faith Baptist Church. And I pray that you would just bless our time together and also meet with the young people as they're having their vacation Bible school right now. I pray that you would really work there in that service as well. And be with Pastor Monty as he goes to the funeral. Bless there, Lord. I pray that you would just work today. What a wonderful day, this Lord's Day. I pray that you would just be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Like I said, I was asking you, how well do you know Jesus? And John gives us a test to determine how well you truly know Jesus Christ. And he really just hits it right from the gate, right at the beginning in verse number 3. He says, this is how you know that you know Jesus Christ, if you keep his commandments. He doesn't really beat around the bush, okay? He gets right to it. He says, this is how you know that you know Jesus Christ, if you keep his commandments. One of the main reasons John had to write this was because of a religious group called the Gnostics in that day. And there's still some remnants of that even today. And this definitely had its effect on different areas of Christianity. But it was a group of religious individuals who said, we know Jesus Christ. And they prided themselves in their knowledge of Scripture. They were so arrogant in all that they knew and all that they understood. They knew all the historical facts about the Bible. They knew all the history of Jesus Christ. They knew all of his teachings. They had so much knowledge. These were incredibly brilliant people when it came to the Word of God and the history of Christianity as we know it in that time. But as wise as these people were concerning biblical things, they refused to follow the commands of God. They had all this knowledge, but they had no obedience. They were super smart, but they never applied it to their own lives. And that was just their mindset was saying, we just need to know about God. We don't actually have to obey him. We don't actually have to have that relationship with him. And so John was writing this letter. He's saying, listen, you do in fact need to obey Christ. Because there are these people out there, and it's creeping into our churches, there are these religious teachers saying, you just need to know about God. All Christianity is an education, but it doesn't matter if you apply it to your own life. And John says, that's not true. He says, you know God if you obey him. You know God if you obey him. And then he really gets blunt in verse number 4. He says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, how many of you like to be called a liar? No, nobody does. You don't want to raise your hand for that. You don't want to have that reputation. I remember, oh my goodness, again, working with teenagers, I don't know what it is with young people, and sometimes there's adults like this too, but you know how kids always love to embellish things? They always like to really make themselves look a whole lot better than they really are. And so they take a story and they add so much to it, and they just make up a total lie to make themselves look better. Now, of course, we have teenagers like that in my youth department, and you're going to see kids like that all over the place. I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't know if it's an insecurity thing or what, but it's them saying, I just have to make up the story to make myself look better. And, you know, they it's almost like they have to lie. They don't know how to go into a conversation without lying, you know. And when that person walks up to you and they start telling you a story, automatically, you know, I just turn them off because I'm like, okay, this person, they're always lying to me. I can't believe a word they're saying, you know. Nobody wants to have that reputation. You don't want to be that person where when you walk into a conversation, it's like, oh, great, what's Tim going to say today? That guy's a big liar, you know. You don't want that reputation. But John's saying that if you are standing up before a group of people and you say, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ, but you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar. Now, he doesn't say you're unsaved. He doesn't say you're lost. He doesn't say that at all. And that's why he started the chapter the way he did, because he was saying, listen, understand, we're all going to sin. We're all going to mess up. You're not going to be perfect. There's still a work to be completed in your life. But your life as a whole should be one of obedience. You're not going to be perfect every day. You're not going to be obedient every day. But with as much as you possibly can, you should be obeying God. You should be obeying God. And then he explains in verse 5, if you keep God's commandments, then you become complete in Christ. And again, I heard Pastor Imani mentioning that this morning, that saying we're all at different levels spiritually, right? We're all still growing. Some have been in church all their lives. Some have only been in church for a few months. They're new Christians. Some have been saved as adults. Some were saved when they were little children. Some people have been in church for years, but they've never really grown spiritually. Some have been in church for only maybe 2 years, but they are extremely mature spiritually. We're all at different levels. We're all over the place. And it's a process. And we don't reach that complete level. We don't attain that perfection until we're in heaven with Jesus Christ. So while we're here on this earth, it's a journey. It's a process as we're always working towards completion in Christ. And he says that a big part of that completion is obedience to Christ. Have you ever heard the phrase, he or she is the complete package? That's something that you might have heard, you know, especially from single guys or single girls. And, you know, a guy's looking for the perfect wife, you know, and he's looking out there and he sees great qualities and attributes in certain girls. But then he finds the one girl, he says, she's the complete package. Not only is she beautiful, but she can also cook. Right? Oh, come on. Now, you understand? You know, not only does she just have this one attribute, but she's also very kind. She's also very wise. She's also very talented. Same thing goes for a girl. You know, not only is he good looking, but he's also nice. He's also responsible. He actually bathes every day. You know, he is the complete package. That's wonderful. You know, and that's what John is telling us here. He's saying, look, you're all saved. That's great. But you're not complete without obedience. We're all followers of God. If you're here right now on a Sunday afternoon at one in the afternoon, this is a very unusual time to meet in the Lord's house. But if you're here right now, I would dare say every single one of you in here, you know God to some degree or another. You know God. But John's saying you're not complete without obedience. He's saying you might know God, but you don't really know Him. You don't have that relationship with Him. Being from Indianapolis, I, of course, was a huge Indianapolis Colts fan. I still am a Colts fan, even though Jim Irsay, I'm in church. I can't say very mean things right now. I'm not a huge Irsay fan. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, but I still love the Colts, all right? And being a Colts fan, I love Peyton Manning. And so I'll be honest with everyone here right now. I'm going to confess. When Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, I swung my full support to the Denver Broncos. And until Peyton Manning retires, I'm going to cheer for the Broncos, and then I'll come back full, wholeheartedly back to the Colts. All right, so please don't hate me. I just need to get that off my chest. All right, I am a huge Peyton Manning fan. I love him. I really respect him. I think he's an incredible athlete. He's brilliant. He's a student of the game of football, and I really respect that. I really love Peyton Manning. I know a lot about him. I know Peyton Manning. If I saw Peyton Manning walking down the street, I would be able to point him out and be like, "That's Peyton Manning." I'd probably like start crying. You know, I'd just go crazy. That's Peyton Manning. But if I were to run up to Peyton Manning and be like, "Peyton Manning, my name's Tim Russell and I'm a huge fan," he'd be like, "Very nice to meet you. Have a good day." He doesn't really know me. I don't really, really know him. We don't have a relationship. It's not like I'm, you know, texting, hey, Peyton, how's it going? I'm in Indianapolis today. You know, what are you up to? You know, I don't really have a relationship with Peyton Manning. You know, and even we see in the book of James, I believe it is, where we are taught that the demons, they know who Jesus is. You know, the demons know, they recognize Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was on earth in his earthly ministry, if you read through the Gospels, you see over and over again where Jesus would confront a demon-possessed man or woman. And it says that the demons would tremble. And they would be in fear and awe of Jesus Christ. And they would start worshiping, saying, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus would often, he'd hush them. He'd say, no, hold your tongue. And then he would cast those demons out of those people. These are demons. These are followers of Satan. They know Jesus Christ, but they don't have a relationship with him. And that's John's whole premise in these few verses. And then I love how he closes it out. He says in verse 7, "And brethren, I'm not writing to you anything new. This isn't some grand revelation. It's not like you've never heard this before, because you've heard this from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, what was like the one command he gave them? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them one command from the very beginning, from the creation of man. God just had one expectation, that we obey him, that we just obey Him in order to have a relationship with Him. And even back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, they damaged their relationship with Jesus Christ, even in the beginning. So John's saying, this isn't new. This isn't something you've never heard before, but you need to be reminded of it. Because there are too many Christians, John is saying, too many Christians who claim to know Christ, but their lives don't match up to their claims. They're liars. They are liars. So that's John's test. That concludes his test of how well do you know Jesus Christ. So after we've gone through this passage, I want you to think about your own life. Obviously, like I said, you're here on a Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. You know who God is. You know Jesus Christ. I'd say most everyone in here that you're saved. But how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? How is your relationship? As we speak right now, there are a ton of kids packed up into the fellowship hall having vacation Bible school. Now, what do at vacation Bible school? We teach the children God's Word. We have those kids memorize Scripture. We teach them Bible stories. We do skits that reinforce Bible truths and Bible principles. We sing scriptural songs so that the young people learn more about God and His Word in song. We are trying to educate those young people towards a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why do we have Sunday school? Well, so that we can study the Bible. I was in the FBI class this morning for Sunday school, and Pastor Monty just delivered an excellent lesson on the Lord's Supper. And he was educating us on the Word of God. Whenever we assemble and we open God's Word, education is taking place. But the Christian life, like I said a moment ago, it's not just about an education. The Christian life isn't just about knowledge, because knowledge is basic. We're talking about so much more than just reading the Bible and memorizing it. Reading and memorizing, those are just baby steps. You know, most people, they memorize the alphabet by the age of 4. My wife is a pre-K teacher, and she is, a lot of her kids, by the end of their pre-K experience, they're reading small words and they're putting sentences together. At the age of 4, most of them by the end of that time, they've turned 5 already, but they haven't even hit kindergarten yet, and they're already able to read cat, dog, and spell it out, and they know what all the letters are, and they know what sound the letters make, and they've memorized the alphabet. Why is it so important that we start at pre-K and kindergarten teaching children the alphabet? Well, so that they can read later on, so that as they go further into their education experience, they can have a greater understanding, and they can learn more later on. It's a foundational thing. It's basic. And that's what John is saying. He says, listen, we all need to study the Bible. We all need to memorize Scripture. That's why I love the Awana program. And our church has something very similar. We call it King's Character. It's very much like the Awana program, where we bring all these kids in and we have them memorize Scripture and we teach them Bible lessons. This last school year, we went through with our teenagers. We have a Wednesday night program, and we went through a program I called RPMs. We talked about relationships, purity, and modesty. And very important, I believe, for teenagers, because they need to know what God has to say about relationships, purity, and modesty. Because the world that we live in today has no problem educating young people about relationships, purity, and modesty. The world has no problem telling kids how they think they ought to dress. The world has no problem telling the kids they think it's perfectly acceptable to shack up and be immoral and live a godless, perverted lifestyle. The world has no problem teaching our children that. So I think it's very important that we as a church teach our young people what God has to say about those things. I want to educate the young people in God's Word. I want all of the teenagers in my youth department to know what God has to say about dress. I want the teens in my youth department to know what God has to say about a godly relationship. I want my young people to know what God has to say about homosexuality. I want my young people to know what God has to say about sexuality before marriage and after marriage. I want them to know that. So I educated them in the Word of God. And that education is so basic. That is where we all should start. And I would say everyone here, we're there. Everyone here has some sort of a Bible education. You've been to Sunday school. You've heard the messages. You read, Lord willing, I hope everyone here, you read your Bible every day, and you should. I hope many of you here have many scripture verses memorized. I'm sure that many of you here have many great hymns and scripture songs memorized. And you can sing those at any time. You have that knowledge. You have that understanding. And that's what I'm talking about this afternoon, is having that knowledge but going the next step to having a relationship. I'm talking about reading and memorizing for the sake of learning and acquiring a greater understanding of Christ in order to develop a deeper relationship with Him. Not just for the sake of knowledge. And that's because the Christian life isn't about knowledge. It's about a relationship. Our culture loves to elevate knowledge. It's such a big deal for people to be well educated. And it's hard to get a legitimately good job without some sort of a college education. I did a little bit of research. The National Center for Education Statistics, okay? They determined that nationally, now this is, of course, not just in Indiana, but not just in Oklahoma, but all over the nation, nationally, an employee with only a high school diploma will make an average of $39,000 a year, while an employee with at least a bachelor's degree will make an average of $65,000 annually. An employee with a master's degree will make an average of $80,000 annually. Now, these are obviously just a big broad, because I have a master's degree. I don't make that much. So it's not like, I have a master's degree, I should make more. That's not really true. So just in case you got your hopes up. Sorry, I got my hopes up and my hopes were shattered. So no, that's just a broad spectrum. But the whole point of that study is to show, look, if you have an education, you're going to get a better pay. You're going to get a better reward for that education. You know, someone who comes in to a job, let's say two men are hired at the same time for one job, and they're going to fulfill the same position. The man who has the most experience and the most knowledge in that field, he's going to get paid more. That's just the way life is, all right? Because he has more knowledge. And that's how our world works, okay? So kids, if you haven't figured that out yet, it pays to learn, okay? That's why I value education. That's why I've gone to college for 6 years. I've earned my bachelor's degree and I've earned my master's degree. I think it's important to have an education. Because if I'm going to stand before a group of people as I am today, and I'm going to open God's Word and claim to know anything, I want some proof behind that and say, hey, look, I have studied. I have earned an education. I know what I'm talking about. But you have to understand, life, the Christian life, is not just about an education. But sadly, that secular mentality of being smart and of having knowledge and understanding, it's crept into Christianity today. To where Christians walk around and they say, I know so much about God's Word. I can quote so many scripture verses to you. I know book, chapter, and verse of exactly what you're talking about. Would you like me to answer that question? Man, I can debate with the best of them. I know so much about God. I can tell you what year He was born. And I can tell you what year He died. I can tell you blah, 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 blah. And they have all this knowledge and all this understanding. And that's good. We should be educated in the Bible. But that is not where we should stop. That is not at all where we should stop. Because there are so many people, they're so educated, and they do absolutely nothing with it. How many of you have ever heard the phrase professional student? You ever heard that term? Okay, I'll give you kind of the definition as I'm using it today, okay? A professional student is a slang term commonly used in colleges to describe a student who stays in school for many years rather than embarking on a career. Okay, it's that guy who goes to school forever. Always in school, but he never gets a job. It's like, when did you start college? 1984. And do you have any degrees? Nope, still working on it. Okay, that's good. Good job, buddy. Keep working, you know. It's like they're just always there. I have friends like this. I know people. They're always going and getting more education. I have friends that have, several degrees. Several college degrees, and they still don't have a job. That's a professional student. They're always getting this education, but they're doing nothing with it. And that seems so silly, doesn't it? It seems so silly. It's like, why would you waste all your time and money and energy getting an education, but doing nothing with it? Now let's apply that to the Christian life. Why do we spend so much time and energy and money receiving a Bible education? Why do we spend so much time in God's house? Why do we spend so much time reading our Bibles, which we ought to be? Why do we spend so much time investing in ministries here, but we're not doing anything with it in our own lives? It's such a waste. It's such a waste. That's why I'm telling you, you don't just need knowledge, you need a relationship. Because if you only have knowledge, you're not going to be as inclined to obey God's word. But if you have a relationship, then you're going to want to obey God. I think we all can relate to this. Think about this. A little kid, when I was a little boy, I obeyed my parents because if I didn't, I was going to get a whooping. I think you all can relate to that, okay, right? If you don't obey your mom and dad when you're a kid, you're going to get in trouble, right? Right? You better. I hope you do. Because otherwise, oh, man. Anyway, when you disobey your parents, you're going to get, you're going to need to be in timeout. You're going to get a whooping. You're going to get some sort of a punishment. But as you grow older, and I think most of you adults can relate with me on this. As you grow older, you want to obey your parents and you want to honor your parents and respect them. Not just because you're afraid they're going to whoop you, okay? I'm not too concerned about my mom whooping me with a belt right now, okay? I'm 24 years old. I know there's probably times she still wants to whoop me, but I'm not too concerned about it, all right? Because I'm a grown man now. But I want to honor my mom and dad because I love them. Because there's a relationship. Because I know how much my parents love me. So I'm going to do whatever I can to demonstrate my love to them by honoring them, by doing what pleases them. And I think you all can understand that. When you have a relationship with someone, you want to respect them. You want to honor them. So the whole premise of the message tonight is we're all very well educated in the Bible. The group of individuals in the church right now. We all know a lot about God and His Word. But do you have a relationship with Him? Are you actually obeying His commands? When you hear a great message, when you hear something in Sunday school, are you applying it to your own life? Let's think about this. Husbands, we know that we're supposed to love our wives. That's a clear command in Scripture. So why is it that we're always antagonizing our wives and always getting under their skin and pushing their buttons? Man, I'm guilty. I'm right there. I know my wife's buttons. I know what buttons I can push to irritate her. But I know also I'm supposed to love my wife. I'm supposed to show her that, a sacrificial type of love. I know that. And if you're not demonstrating that love to your wife like you should, then that means your relationship with God is damaged. Children, you know you're supposed to obey and honor your parents. And if you don't, if you're disrespectful to your parents, then obviously your relationship with God is damaged. We know that we're supposed to be pure. Yet there are people probably even in this room that struggle with immoral thoughts or struggle with sending immoral text messages and getting on ungodly, perverted websites. We know so much about the Bible. We know from this morning's message, we know we're supposed to have brotherly love. No matter where they're at, we're supposed to love them anyway. What a fantastic truth that we all need. We're supposed to love our brother no matter how they treat us, no matter where they're at in life. We're still supposed to love them. But why do we continue to be hateful? Why do we continue to be rude and disrespectful towards those around us? See, we know these basic truths because all those things that I just mentioned, most of you learned when you were like 8 years old. We know we're supposed to honor our parents. We know we're not supposed to lie. We know we're not supposed to covet. We know we're not supposed to take God's name in vain. But why do we keep going back to that? It's because our relationship with God is damaged. And so it goes back to the beginning of 1 John when John said, listen, you're going to fail. You're going to sin. So restore your relationship with God. Confess your sins. Repent of those sins. Restore that relationship and obey Him. And that will demonstrate your love to God. And that's how you can have that healthy relationship with God. Live like you know Him. Live like you know your Savior. So again, the title of the message, do you know Him or do you know Him? Does it make a little bit more sense now? Yeah, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. No, do you really know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? A real relationship where you're obeying Him, where you're following Him. And I'll just close with this. When John said, if you don't obey God, you're a liar. You know another way we can say that today? You're a hypocrite. And sadly, when I go on outreach, soul winning, I'll be knocking on the door and I'll invite someone to church. And I'll be like, hey, why don't you come to church today? And they'll be like, well, I don't really like to go to church. Well, why don't you want to come? Well, I really think all those Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites. And you know, sadly, I have a really hard time defending Christianity before those people. Because the sad truth is, a lot of Christians are hypocrites. A lot of Christians are hypocrites, and that's what John was saying. If you don't obey God, you're a liar. If you don't apply what you heard in the Sunday morning and Sunday evening message and Sunday school and your personal devotions, you're a hypocrite. So for the sake of the young people around us, for the sake of new Christians, please obey God. For the sake of the lost world around us, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a liar. Obey God and demonstrate your real personal relationship with Him. All right? Let's go ahead and pray, and then Brother Peter will come up. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes together. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the time we had together, and I thank you so much for the opportunity I had to preach to these good people, my home church. Lord, I count it a great privilege and an honor to be here. And Lord, I pray that you would just use this Bible truth in the lives of everyone here in the auditorium as you used it in my own life. It was very convicting to me to consider the fact that I'm a youth pastor. I'm a minister. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. And yet there are many areas of my life where I'm a hypocrite because I know what I'm supposed to do, but I go the opposite direction. I don't always obey God, and I know that's disappointing to you, and that's a hypocritical representation of Christianity. And so, Lord, as you taught me this great truth, I pray you help everyone here in the congregation at Faith Baptist Church to learn this same truth today and actually apply it to their own lives. Pray, Lord, that you should be glorified in this invitation and bring everyone home safely after it's all said and done, I pray. Pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.